James 5:12 says, "But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you not fall under condemnation."
All right, thank you, Chip. You may be seated. Our children can go to the back to head to children's church. And just to let you know, I know it's a long time before the next Sunday gets here, but that is the pattern that we intend to continue to keep. So each week after we finish singing, you can just remain standing for our scripture reading. But we are in James chapter 5. Let me say good morning to you. I haven't had an opportunity to see many of you today. Thankful for the opportunity to be with you, to look at God's Word together. James chapter 5, that's just the one verse. Y'all say, he only read one verse. That's all that we're considering today. This is one thought that James gives us complete on its own, and we want to consider it in the way that it was given to us in God's Word, so that's how we're going to see it today. Before we get to that text and considering it together, I wanted to share a historical reference. Many of you are familiar with the story of how Abraham Lincoln, when he was in his 20s, he was working at Denton Offutt's General Store, and he was a clerk there, and at one point he recognized that he had accidentally charged someone too much. By just a few pennies, he had overcharged them, and he closed up shop and left the general store and walked several miles to return the few pennies that he had accidentally overcharged this person. And of course, he garnered the nickname Honest Abe, and many of you have heard that. But this week, as I was reading, I read another story, if you will, that spoke to the honesty that Abraham Lincoln sought to live with, and I felt it was this quote from him that he shared. He was a lawyer. If you don't know him, he practiced law before he went into being elected in the office. And he was speaking to some young attorneys, and he urged them with these words. And I want you to listen and think about what he's saying here. Abraham Lincoln said, "Resolve to be honest at all events. And if in your own judgment you cannot be an honest lawyer, resolve to be honest without being a lawyer." And I thought, now that's powerful. If you can't be an honest lawyer, don't be a lawyer. Friends, we're going to see a similar challenge in James's writing today, that we, as God's people, be honest in all matters, no matter what. And if there's some area of your life that you simply cannot do that while remaining honest, I would urge you in the same way. You need to stop doing whatever that is. So we'll see two things today. James is going to tell us what we should not do and what we should do in this one verse. Here's the main argument for this morning. Like our Father, Christians should be honest and trustworthy. You see, Father is capitalized. We're talking about our Heavenly Father. Like our Father, Christians should be honest and trustworthy. I'm going to read the first part of this verse. I'll give you the first point, and then we're going to pray before we consider this together. James 5:12 begins by saying, "But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth, or by any other oath." Point one this morning is this: Christians ought not oath. Christians ought not oath. I recognize that that is not a complete and proper sentence, but you recognize that is still point one. Christians ought not oath. We're going to see why in just a moment. But before we do, let's pray and ask the Lord's favor on this time. Lord, you are a perfectly faithful and trustworthy God. Lord, you do not lie. You have never lied, and we know you will never lie. You're perfectly righteous in every way, but Father, we are not. We are flawed. We are, Lord, on our own, left with our own spirit and our own abilities. We are liars. And we lie for many different reasons. But Father, today we're reminded that that's not who we ought to be. So Father, help us by the strength of your Spirit and by the inspiration of your Word to strive to be the people that you would have us to be. Give us strength to do it. Give us hearts and minds that would be set to it. And Father, I pray that this morning, for just a few minutes, while we consider this one verse from James, Lord, that our hearts and minds would not be divided or distracted, but Lord, that we'd be able to set aside the things of yesterday, the things of tomorrow, and everything outside of this room, and focus on the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, I've been meaning to tell y'all this. I forgot, so even though I'm breaking from what I was about to say, those of you that use your cell phone as your Bible, and I recognize I'm not calling you out for that, that's okay. I'm glad that you have some copy of God's Word in your hand where you can read it. But if you will, particularly if you have an iPhone, if you'll swipe down from that right corner and you'll put it in Do Not Disturb mode, you won't get messages or emails or updates on anything else while you're reading that. And I recommend that to you as a way to be able to focus more fully on God's Word while we are together. But here this morning, as we look at this text, we see James in the first part of verse 12 telling people that they should not swear. Now, let's just be clear, because that word is used differently in our context. When he says don't swear, he doesn't mean don't cuss. That's not what he's saying. Whenever he says do not swear, he's saying don't make promises. That's the idea that he's trying to convey here. That first point, that we should not make oaths. That's exactly what James is saying to his readers. We shouldn't say things like, I promise, or pinky promise, or I swear I'll do it, or some that like to go even farther, things like, I swear on my mama's grave, or I swear by. And we like to, there are all sorts of different things that people are willing to swear by. But James says here, don't do that. He says, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. Don't make oaths at all. Now, I will give just a brief side note here, because I know Christians throughout the centuries have struggled with this. I don't think that James's teaching here extends to the point that we can't take the oaths that we are officially required to take. I don't believe that what he's saying here is that if a Christian goes to serve as a witness in court, that we can't swear that we'll tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, which is actually the title of this morning's sermon. I don't think he's saying that. I don't think he's saying that you can't sign a legally binding contract, mortgage payments for your house, saying, I will pay this money. I don't believe that's what James is saying. I don't believe it's unethical or unbiblical to swear an oath in court, to sign a legally binding contract. I don't believe that's what he's saying. And as we go, I hope the context will make that clear to you as well. But he is very clear on this point. In our personal relationships, in our conversations with other people, with our spouses, with our children, with our best friends, with our coworkers, we should not, as he says, do not swear. We should not be making promises and oaths. That's a very clear point in the text. But you might begin to wonder, why? Why is telling somebody, why is telling my wife, I promise I'll be on time today? Why is telling my boss, I swear I'll get that done, you don't have to worry about it? Why is that so significant that James writes about it in its own individual thought in this letter that he's circulating to Christians? Why is it so important that in the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon in all of history, that Jesus takes several verses to address this exact thing in Matthew chapter 5? Why is that so significant? Well, as we see the last part of this verse, I hope it will help make it more clear. I'll go ahead and give you what we're about to see in the text. Point two is this: Christians ought be honest. We ought not oath, but we ought be honest. This is what we ought do. This is what we should do. Let's pick back up where we left off. We've already seen in verse 12, but above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. He then goes on to give us the positive, what we should do. He says, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. So he gave us the negative. What should we not do? We should not make promises. We should not swear. And then he gives us the positive. Well, what should we do? We should simply be honest. That's what it means whenever he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You may see that and you say, well, exactly what does it mean for my yes to be yes and my no to be no? It simply means this, that you do what you say you'll do. And you don't do what you say you won't do. I'm trying to make this not any more complicated than it is. And that's exactly what James is saying. Listen, guys, if you say yes, I'll do something, do it. And if you say no, I won't do something, then don't do it. And so in the second part of the verse, we start to understand why James had a concern over oaths in the first place. We start to see why Jesus was so concerned with his people making oath. The problem isn't the oath. The problem isn't the promise. It's not the swearing. The problem is the necessity for such a thing. Because if I always do what I say I'm going to do, people aren't going to ask me to swear that I'll do something. Right? If every time you ask me to show up at a meeting on time, I do, and I have, and I've proven myself, then whenever you say, hey, will you be at the meeting on time Tuesday? And I say, yes, you're not going to say, do you swear you'll be on time? No, because you have no reason to think that I wouldn't. You see, people use promises and oaths and swearing as compensation for a lack of integrity. When you lack integrity and you lack honesty, you try and use these supplements so that maybe people can trust me this time. I know I usually don't do what I say, but I promise I will. And it's a supplement to try and make yourself seem more trustworthy. And James says, if you just did what you said you were going to, you wouldn't have to do that in the first place. There'd be no need for oaths and promises and swearing. See, I never ask Amanda, do you swear? When she tells me that she's going to do something, when she says, I'll be there, I'll do that, I'll get it done, I don't say, do you promise? You know why I don't ask Amanda if she promises or if she swears those type of things? Not necessarily because James tells us not to do that, but in part. But also because she simply does what she says she's going to do. I have the same relationship with Don and Adam, right? The other pastors I work with here at Mount Zion. I don't have to ask them to give me supplemental guarantees for their commitments because when they tell me they're going to do something, they simply do it. I can trust them. I believe James's point in this verse is that we should do the same. Now, I'm not going to beat a dead horse. It's not something I like to do. I'm not going to circle this plane a whole bunch of times to try and extend this and make it a whole lot longer. Some of you are looking at the clock and said, son, we're about to go eat at 11:05. I'm not. I'm not going to try and make this more complicated than it is, friends. This is what James says to us today. Do what you say you'll do, and don't do what you say you won't do. I do want to share one other thing with you, though. I want to make sure and share why this is particularly important for Christians. Because not lying is a very typical teaching that you would find in any kindergarten classroom, in any first grade classroom. You can watch episodes of Leave It to Beaver and understand that you shouldn't lie. But then we look around us, and in our world, we recognize that people lie all the time, and it seems to do pretty well for them, right? Some people get much better jobs because they lie. Sometimes they get caught, and sometimes they don't. Some people pay fewer taxes because they're willing to lie. Some people have a much better reputation and much larger following on social media because they're willing to lie. And now I'm standing here today telling you that you shouldn't lie. And you're saying, why should I give up all those things just because I'm a Christian? I don't want this to be just a moralistic teaching. It's just the moral of not lying. That's just what people do. I want you to understand this in the context of the book of James. And the overall, one of the main overall parts of James, if you remember, is this, that faith without works is dead. If you really believe in the real Jesus, then it'll come out in real ways. And this is one of the things that James is saying is very clear. If you believe in Jesus, you will be honest. Right? God does a work in us and he changes our heart so that we want to be honest. We want to have integrity. We want to do what we say we're going to do. So the first reason that you should be honest is because that's God's expectation of you. Again, we see it in Jesus' teaching. We see it here very clearly. Do not swear. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. That's God's expectation of you. It's not only God's expectation, it's God's example. And this is the last thing that I want to show you today. God's example is of someone who is perfectly trustworthy and true. Everything he says, he does. Every single time, no matter what. And friends, we should want to be like our Father. If you go back to the main art, like our Father, we should be honest and trustworthy. Don't you want to be like your Father? Don't you want to be like your Heavenly Father? Don't you want to follow in His footsteps? Well, listen to just this one verse from Titus that is absolutely striking to me as I've meditated on it this week. Titus 1:2, Paul is writing to the young Titus. And he's telling Titus that eternal life was something that God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. Now, you may focus on that middle part, that phrase there, that God never lies. That's a pretty striking thing for us to be reminded of today. God never lies, and we should never lie. But I want you to think on the promise that he's talking about here. That whenever he says, before the ages began, he's telling us that God made a promise to us that he would offer us eternal life a long, long time ago. Some people hear that phrase, that he made that promise before the ages began, and they think, this is a promise that God made to Adam and Eve in the garden. This is a promise that he made to Abraham thousands and thousands of years ago, before the ages began. And that's possible. But the more prevalent understanding, and the one that I have, is this, that God made that promise thousands of years before Adam and Eve or Abraham came along. That literally before time began, in eternity past, when God was the only one who existed, that he had already made this promise that one day he was going to offer eternal life to the people he was going to create. That he was going to redeem us from our sin and save us from our fallenness and offer us eternal life. He made that promise thousands and thousands, if not millions of years ago. God made that promise. So I want you to think about that. A promise that this would be like us, you know, him a days, a thousand years. So this is like a promise you made when you're in elementary school. Right? Those of you that are senior adults, they're grown. You made somebody a promise in elementary school. And we say, listen, I made that so long ago. You can't hold me to a promise I made that long ago. Right? You weren't even around when I made that promise. That's not that, but you just heard my parents say that I said that when I was in elementary school. But God doesn't use any of those excuses. He doesn't say, I said that a long time ago and things have changed a whole lot. You know what else he didn't say? He didn't say, when I made that promise, I didn't realize what it would cost me to keep that promise. Because sometimes we fall on that, right? Yeah, I know I told you I'd be there, but I didn't realize what I'd have to give up to make that true. No, Jesus left heaven and came to earth and was beaten and mocked and rejected, bruised. He took our sin upon himself. He took the punishment for our sin. He died on the cross and was resurrected from the dead. He did all of that in order to keep the promise that he made. Why? Because God never lies. And friends, this is what I want you to see today. This is our example. This is our example. That's our Father, who we want to be like. No matter what it costs Him, no matter how long He has to work to keep His promise, no matter how long we've waited, even though we can't hold Him to it, He never breaks a promise. He keeps His word, and that's who we want to be like. We want to be like our Father. So here's the bottom line, friends. If you say it, do it. If you say it, do it. And if you're not sure that you're going to do it, don't say it. Plain English. So this morning, I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to have a time of invitation. And as we do today, we are going to observe the Lord's Supper. So I want to invite our deacons and yoke fellows who are helping with the Lord's Supper today to come forward. As they do, and as our praise team moves to prepare to lead us in a song, I want to give you a couple of reflection points, possibly some application for you. I would say this first of all, if you're here today and you've never come to trust the promises of God through faith in Jesus, I invite you, I encourage you, I implore you to come. God's words are trustworthy and true, and God promises this, that all who come to Him in faith will be saved and will live forever. That is offered to you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you're from, it's offered to you. If you've never come to Him in faith, I invite you to do that today. Christians who are here, who recognize that you're lacking in this area, you hear this about being honest and it kind of hurts a little bit. One of those, preacher, you're stepping on my toes. It ain't me. That's the Lord's word. I'd say this. Respond to that. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking about a specific promise that you broke that's really weighed heavy on you. And you've not tried to make that right. You need to go to someone and you need to apologize. You need to tell them that you did them wrong and that you're sorry. Maybe you're here and you recognize there's not one particular lie that you've told, but that's just kind of the pattern of your life. People don't trust you because you haven't given them a reason to. Let me invite you today to be the type of person who lives up to their word. Pray and ask God to give you strength to do this. You can't do it on your own, but through His Spirit who lives in you, you can. Pray and ask Him, God, help me. God, help me to be honest and trustworthy. Help me to have integrity. He will. And I'll also say this to those who are here today who are Christians, who are honest and trustworthy, recognize this. That's God's work in you. That's grace. Friends, we all used to be liars. We all used to say things that we didn't mean just because it helped save our skin. But God has changed your heart, and He's changed your mind, and He's changed your ways, and He deserves your praise for that. So this morning, whatever way you need to respond, thanking God, asking for His help, coming to Him in faith, you have an opportunity to do that. So do that as the praise team leads us in this time of response and as we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper. But if you're with us this morning and you're not a believer, I would encourage you as these elements come by to not take the juice and not take the bread, but just pass that plate because the Lord's Supper is reserved for those who belong to Him. But you respond as the Lord leads as we have this time of response.